Blog Talk Radio.
Praise the Lord. Glory be unto the Most High God. We bless the Lord for another day that the Lord has made. We've made of our mind. I so hope you have, that we're going to rejoice and be glad in it. Can't nobody do me like Jesus. What a mighty God we serve. He has been doing some awesome, phenomenal, things this week in this revival. Just want to welcome you to the Blog Talk Radio Divine Connection, where the Spirit of the Lord has been manifest in such a marvelous and phenomenal way. Not in a spirit of pride, but in glorifying the Lord. Amen. I say these things because truly He has used these women of God in such a fantastic, dynamic way. And it wasn't potato chips and hot dogs. We've been eating some filet mignon. I bless the Lord, and we're looking forward to a great move of God tonight. None other than over to God out of St. Peter's, Florida, our own Pastor Carol Kimpson Alexander. But until then, we just want you, glory to God, to prepare yourself in anticipation of an expectancy of God blessing you for whatever the need is. And he'll go beyond that, things that you didn't even know or realize that you needed or needed to be in a place of releasing and letting go or healing or deliverance or just glory to God being stable. It's so many things. And sometimes you just want to encourage our hearts to keep on pressing and pursuing. Bless the Lord. And I thank God there's something out of it, no matter whether you a pastor, minister, lay member, however, just coming to Christ. It's been word that was coming forth that will fill all of our spirits. We're not just being a hearer. I pray, glory to God, that you're really being a doer as we get this word and not just prepare to go into the new year with, oh, another resolution. And like the defaults on a computer, you're right back at the same screen. No, I'm believing for what you've heard all year and what you've been hearing, glory to God, in your local assemblies. This is just going to catapult you over into a new dimension. And pressing and pursuing after the Lord Jesus Christ. Praise the Lord. As we often, glory to God, do each night as we're waiting for others to come on. Thank God they're coming on pretty quickly. We usually have just a few words of exhortation, but I do want to prepare those that are first time on that this is a Divine Connection Blog Talk Radio that when we have services on every Monday night for prayer and every second and fourth Sunday for speakers to come in. But this revival, each night, no matter what, we always have the lines muted. So when the speaker or someone is speaking, doing the scripture or the reading or whoever voice besides mine, I open the lines for them to speak. We don't want to have all the interruption and the noise in the background. Sometimes we can get excited, just like the church service. And, you know, praise the Lord, glory to God, that was a blessing. But if we have all those voices, we will hear what the speaker or whoever is ministering the word or just talking at that time. So we just open the lines at the end of the message. When the person finished with the message, we open the lines so you can be able to have a prayer request made. And then she or he, however the Lord, whoever the vessel is being used at that time besides the prophets that come on to pray with you at that time. So just be aware. And even encouraging the speakers, you'll not hear another voice on the other side until you finish speaking. Praise God. So we want to give ample time for the woman of God and each vessel each night. Praise God. Our theme, for those that did not just have, glory to God, a flyer or a text, our theme is, what are you doing to change the atmosphere for Jesus? And Lord knows we've been hearing some great word all week about things that we need to come in line, things we know, but also God is coming in and revealing other things and also giving us to a place that we can get refortified. If we lost our place, we can get back on our post. Praise the Lord. So what are you doing to change the atmosphere? Praise the Lord. And every night, each one, that's the theme, but each night, each person, God has been blessing to give them a topic. So they will reveal their topic, praise God, when they get ready to speak. Praise the Lord. We definitely know that it's going to take for us to be to walk in humility and meekness and to realize Jesus was meek. He was no way weak. So don't allow anybody to take you off track and so forth like this because they think that you're weak because of the meekness in your life. And God's calling for us, go over to God, to allow him to be Lord in our lives. Praise the Lord. So I just bless the Lord tonight that we're going to know, glory to God, even through these trials and tribulation and different things. Don't let whatever you go through or through how people treat you define who you are. We must go through it for some things to, in order for this flesh to die, because God said no flesh don't glory in his sight, so that when we can be in that position, so that where if he want to elevate us, do anything in us, or we be that light that we can be able to radiate that light so other people can see who our God is and exalt him, and also to walk, glory to God, in the path of righteousness, then it's going to take, we got to deny our own selves and so forth. Like sometimes we get so caught up in what's going on around us and what's happening that we don't focus on what's going on in us, where we miss God at. So we just got to make sure that we walk in obedience, keep a prayer life, have a relationship with the Lord, stay humble before him, allow him, glory to God, to take us through, because we'll be troubled on every side, but not crushed, but we'll be knocked down, but we're not destroyed. God is using those trials and those things, glory to God, to make us get to that place where we can be a vessel unto honor, and though we can change the atmosphere, because we can't change the atmosphere for Jesus if we're walking in our flesh and being disobedient or rebellious, still holding on to fear and fretfulness and agitation, aggravation, and always complaining and murmuring. So what are you doing to change the atmosphere for the Lord? Because all of us are going to face trials, but in the meantime, let God make us through the process. So in the meantime, I bless the Lord for you. I think that's enough for now as we prepare. We have enough people on the line for to get our speaker up and ready to carry out the word of God and to allow the Lord to use her in whatever capacity that he desires. And remember, the Bible let us know where your treasure is. Where your heart is, that's where your treasure is. We want to make sure that our treasure is in the Lord and our minds are the minds of Christ and being led by his spirit. Then so forth, he said, then you're the sons of God. So all of this in preparation, praise the Lord, and get ourselves ready to let God promote us. Because if he can't see himself in us and we are stagnated, we're going to find ourselves just like the world, and we're going to regress instead of progress. So in the meantime, keep looking to God, the author and the finisher of your faith. Hold on to what God has already given you. And glory, I strive for more of him. No more I, but the Christ. Praise the Lord. At this time, I'm going to check now because we are going to have none other than two of our ministers, Prophetess Noom. She was at a meeting. I'm going to make sure that she may have to be back up if she's not on yet for our scripture reading. She is. The Lord bless her to be able to finish her meeting out in Arkansas. Okay. Well, we have Prophetess Noom will be opening us up with a scripture reading, and then afterwards we will have none other than Evangelist Hubbard Ely to bring forth our prayer for tonight. Thank God for these blessed young ladies. I've known them all my life, all their life. So we bless God that he'll use them for his glory. Amen. All right, daughters.
Well, praise God. The scripture reading for tonight is 1 Peter 5:5-7. In the same way, you who are younger, submit yourselves to your elders. All of you clothe yourselves with humility toward one another, because God opposes the proud but shows favor to the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, under God's mighty hand, that he may lift you up in due time. Cast all your anxiety on him because he cares for you. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading of his word. Amen.
Praise the Lord, everybody. Giving honor to God Pastor Hubbard and all the speakers in this revival. We're going to go into prayer. Father God, in the name of Jesus, we come before you as humble as we know how, giving you thanks and praise. But this is the day that the Lord has made, and we will rejoice and be glad in it. God, we just thank you for this opportunity to come and gather on this phone line. God, you said your presence will be wherever it may be. So you said where two or three are gathered, you'll be in the midst. So we're asking, first of all, I'm asking to forgive me for anything displeasing your sight, word, either thought, to hear in this prayer. We're praying that your anointing will flow through Pastor, my aunt, Carolyn, and I, Carol, in the name of Jesus. We pray that you would just bless her, God, that you would just send the angels of word through her, God, that speaks to our spirits, God. We pray for everyone who is on this line, have a listening ear, that they can hear, God, in the name of Jesus, that we may be fed by your word, God, that it will be nourishment to our body, our spirit, our soul, our finances, our situations, whatever the circumstances that's in our life, that this word, not just for tonight, but all week long, God, that it will saturate us, it will strengthen us, it will encourage us, it will push us and drive us to be more closer to you. So, God, we give you all the honor, the glory, and the praise. Without you, we cannot live. But we believe you. We trust you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen.
Glory be unto God. What a mighty God. We bless the Lord for the two daughters. Praise the Lord. And as we prepare for this anointed vessel, glory to God, out of St. Petersburg, Florida, I have the honor to introduce her, but I have a treat for tonight. I'm going to ask Prophetess Moore to go ahead and sing that selection that was really in her heart last night, but she said her computer hit the wrong button, but that song that I was been waiting to listen. I think it will be a blessing to every ear of the hearer tonight. And then we're going to introduce none other than the speaker. Right after that, you will hear the word of God through the messenger. After she sings, I will introduce my sister. Praise the Lord. At this time, Prophetess Moore. Turn it up just a little.
I'm so glad you died. I'm so glad you shed your blood just for me. I'm so glad you rose for me, sweet Jesus. Jesus, there's hope in the name of Jesus. His name. I love to call him when my body is racked with pain. When I don't have no money in my pocket, hallelujah, I can call on Jesus. Cause he said he will supply my every need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. His name is Jesus, the one that has all the medicine in the hem of his garment. Jesus, I love to call him. I love to call on Jesus. Hallelujah. In the wee hours of the night, I love to call on his name. Cause he said, if you call on me, I'll answer you and show you great and mighty things that you know not of. Cause I'm a God that sits high and I look low, and I'm concerned about you. He said, I have you in the palm of my hand. All you got to do is call my name. Jesus, there's hope in the name of Jesus, there's healing in the name of Jesus, there's peace in his name, Jesus, I love the Lord Jesus, oh, he's my lily of the valley, he's my bright and morning star, he's a shelter in the time of storm, he's a water in dry places. Oh, I love this call, Jesus. Help me to call him. Help me to call Jesus. Yeah, Jesus. Oh, Jesus. Oh, Jesus. Oh, I love to call him. Jesus, oh, Jesus, there's power, there's healing, deliverance in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Glory be unto God.
Thank you.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
We bless the Lord. We thank God for Pop this morning. That song, Jesus, has ministered to our hearts. I'm going to make this brief. Praise the Lord for introduction of this woman of God. And they skip a little bit so that while the anointing is flowing, and she's already given me that liberty. Sister Carol Kimson Alexander is a native of Detroit, Michigan, where she grew up in a family that promoted creativity and service. She attended the University of Michigan prior to moving to St. Petersburg, Florida in the late 1970s. Professionally, Sister Alexander is the CEO of the Next Step Center, service to the experiencing pregnancy of parenting. She involves the center commitment to offer the life-affirming solutions of women, men, and families facing the unintended pregnancies and related challenges. Nearly 1,000 women, men, teens have come to faith in Jesus Christ through the Next Step Ministry. For over 25 years, Mrs. Alexander has used her position to support the underserved and under-supported in the hopes of realizing a community where the God-given values and worth of all human life is both affirmed and supported. Pastor Carol has also served as the Christian pro-life community as a presenter as the national, state, and local level equipping ministries and involve individuals to effectively engage and serve communities of color. In her local community, Carol, sister, serves as a variety of nonprofit boards and with numerous community organizations as consult. I can hear her pulling at me like, stop. Her goal in community service as her ministry is to work to improve the physical, emotional, and spiritual well-being of each person from before the womb and beyond. And we can talk a lot of things, but a lot of times, Lord, we get involved, but when you got a passion, this woman has a passion for what God has blessed her and doing in her life. Having trusted Jesus Christ as her personal Savior more than 35 years ago, Carol is actively involved in the Christian community. Praise God. And then I'm going to drop on down and say, Carol is a member of the Bethel Metropolitan Baptist Church, where she serves as a Sunday school teacher, various other duties. She went to West Africa. She is a follower of Jesus Christ. She lives and serves. Glory to God in her spirit, I mean her verse four in out of the Bible that she loves is Galatians 2:20. I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. That is my two-time sister, spiritually, glory to God, and naturally on my father's side, a woman of God from the time I've known my sister, glory to God. She has such a loving and caring and concern, and she sometimes overwork herself because she is so dedicated, glory to God, to the work that she does, that she's concerned about people, concerned about lives, concerning God, glory to God, the people, glory to God, that she serves, and she has a heart after God, and she loves the Lord and has the word in her, and she is a prayer warrior, and I just love the spirit that's in her, and she is a family-oriented too, but she is really dedicated to the things of God, and sometimes you got to take some time for herself. But we bless the Lord working on that. I bless God for her. I love her. At this time, none other voice that you hear other than, glory to God, the speaker for the hour, this vessel, glory to God, that God has put in our midst, glory to God, to bring forth the word tonight. And I pray that the Lord bless and use her for his glory, even though she had a full schedule today. We thank God that as we submit ourselves to the Lord and the flesh is weak, but the spirit is willing. I'm believing out of that reservoir, we're going to get what we need from the vessel of the Lord this night. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen, amen. Praise God, praise God. My sister, God bless you. I love you. Thank you for the privilege, the honor, the humility that it brings that you would invite me to share in this time of revival. And what a time of revival it has been. I wasn't able to be on Monday night, but I listened to the message after, and then Tuesday and Wednesday, and it has been a true blessing. It really has. And thank you for allowing this not only to be a family affair in terms of those of us who are on, we are brothers and sisters in Christ, but also a family affair with you being my sister and my two nieces participating in the opening the prayer and the and scripture reading. So I'm blessed to be among you. I am. I'm just blessed to be among you, among those who have spoken and given us the word in the nights past. Looking forward to the nights to come, and this topic. What are you doing to change the atmosphere for Jesus? And the word that has gone forward with so far has just really challenged me, praying that we will all be challenged by the word that God has given me for tonight. And the topic for tonight is one that I think we think of often when we're talking about people coming to salvation through Christ. But I hope that we, and I believe that we all know that it's not just to bring us to salvation, but it's ongoing, actually, until Christ returns for the believer. And that word that we're going to talk about tonight and how it can allow us to change the atmosphere for Jesus is repentance. And Jesus said in I think it was Mark 1:15. I got it written on my notes somewhere here, but I don't see where I wrote it. But I know what he said. He said, the time is at hand. the kingdom of God is at hand. The time has come. The kingdom of God is at hand, and believe the gospel. And so for those coming to faith in Jesus Christ, it's as simple as that. Repent and believe the gospel. And so after we've done that, then what does repentance still have to do with our lives as believers? And I'm hoping that going through this this time and this word, we will be able to see how repentance and a heart of repentance will allow us to change the atmosphere for Jesus, will be a part of us changing the atmosphere for Jesus. And when we look at that word repentance, we're talking about responding to God's love by being transformed in our convictions and actions and turning toward God and away from what dishonors him. So many times over the years, as I've heard people talk about repentance, they talked about the U-turn, making a U-turn. And when we're talking repentance unto salvation, it's a U-turn. When I'm talking about repentance, when I have sinned against God, when I have done those actions, I had some actions that were against God, then I need to make a U-turn. And I have a friend, he's a Messianic Jew, and he would always draw this picture of an arrow going one way, and up at the top he'd have before I came to Christ, or even after I committed a sin, but we'll say before I came to Christ, I wanted to go my way. It was about my way. And after I came to Christ, now I want to go God's way. Or he would say, no longer my way, but Yahweh. So we want to go God's way. And that is what the heart of repentance for the believer continues to be. And when we look at this call to repentance, certainly for salvation, ongoing call to repentance, the practice of repentance, and the benefits to us, first of all, as believers, and then look at how it can change our own repentance, can change the atmosphere for Jesus Christ. And that's what I hope as we go through this, we'll be able to take a look at it. The definition of repentance, which I gave, but when there is a lack of repentance as believers, when we look at what repentance is, when there's a lack of repentance, it really leads us to a complacency in which we don't see the greatness of God's power. So repentance isn't just an apology. It's not just confession. It's making that 180-degree turn from sin, whatever and in whatever form, back to God. Temptations in our lives and fleeing from them. And because we as believers have the literal presence of God inside of us, the Holy Spirit indwells us, God promises, and this was read, I think this was part of what was read in the scripture, submit yourselves then to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. God resists the proud and gives grace to the humble. So it's a gift to us, and hopefully as we go through this, we will see it as a gift and see the benefit to our own lives, and not only to our own lives, but then also how this change in us, this ongoing heart of repentance in us, will change the atmosphere for those who are around us. So if I can start by, I don't want to say start by because we already started, in looking at the definition of repentance, I really want to take a look at what's required when we talk about repentance and then what the benefits to us are. And the more I walk with the Lord, the more I'm convinced that repentance is just as much for believers And this is not a one-time thing, but something that God's people, that we are called to do, like I said, until Jesus comes back. So I want to talk about the fact that in order for us to be repentant, and the need for us to be repentant, is based on the fact that even through salvation and our perfection, the righteousness of Jesus Christ is what God sees. And so we're saved. We still need to grow in our knowledge of the Lord and grow in our relationship with God and mature in Him. And so this matter of repentance allows us to do that. And so the first step in that is to be sure that as believers we have a repentant heart. And we'll talk more about what that looks like as we move through it. And so this type of heart, we're talking about a pliable heart, a soft heart, a heart that responds to and acts upon godly reproof. It's tender and is easily molded by the Holy Spirit. One of the number one characteristics of a repentant heart is a readiness to acknowledge our guiltiness or our sin, whether it's sin. And you know what? Sometimes if we're not careful, like I said, we'll get compliant. We won't think about the fact that, I mean, we'll start seeing ourselves more right than we really are. And let's not fool ourselves and think we can't fool ourselves, because we can fool ourselves. Sometimes we need to be mindful of the fact that if I'm not trying to develop a repentant heart, I will allow things to go on and things to happen that I should be repenting of, but because I'm not really paying that close attention, I let them go. And then, like I said, we start to get complacent. We need to have a ready heart. We need to have a heart that's willing to acknowledge and accept blame for wrongdoing, whether it's toward anyone in particular or just toward God. It's all toward God. Now, let me say that. We know that from David. I love David, and I'll be talking about David and how he cultivated that repentant heart. We need to be willing to say, I'm the one, Lord. I'm the one who sinned. You said do this, and I went the other way. And, you know, sometimes it can be even intangible. I found in my work and my ministry that because I see and talk to and minister to and serve people who many times, because of their own choices, wind up in the situation and circumstance that they're in, I'll find myself getting sort of jaded and maybe a little lacking compassion. I have to be mindful of that, because I start to say, oh, see, they caused that themselves. If they should be thinking and acting, behaving differently. But I cannot allow that type of attitude. That type of attitude I need to repent of, because it's going to slow me down from seeing them the way Jesus sees them. And if I can't see them like he sees them, then what atmosphere am I going to be changing? What change am I going to be able to make in their lives? Not saying people should not be responsible. That's not it at all. But how am I reacting or responding? And so we need to be mindful of the fact that we need to always be looking at ourselves. Because, listen, if we can't admit to sin, or whether it's thinking wrong, whether it's improper motives, whether it's actions, whether it's a lack of action, if there's no sin, then there's no need to no need for repentance. So we are first wanting to cultivate a repentant heart. For godly sorrow worketh repentance to salvation, not to be repented of. And the 2 Corinthians 7:10, it goes on to express
you know, repentance of salvation. And even in Mark 3:8, I think it was John the Baptist talked about bearing a fruit of repentance. So if we're saved, once we're saved, then there's fruit. And then the fruit of repentance is that we're free to have the type of relationship with God that we need in order to be able to continue to make that change in the atmosphere. And I, like I said, I'll talk more about that as we go through. So we want to be mindful to have a heart toward repentance. David, as I said, his attitude, oh, what an attitude he had. He continually searched his heart before God. And we know David's sin, but he continually searched his heart before God. And then even whether it came to him himself or it was brought to him, I think about Psalm 32, but one of the verses in particular, 32:5, David was quick to cry, "I've sinned, Lord. I stand in need of prayer. I acknowledge my sin unto thee, and mine iniquity have I not hid. I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord, for thou forgavest the iniquity of my sin." And being repentant doesn't just mean that we make right things right with the person that we have wronged, but no, it's about making things right with God. That's the main thing. God is the one who has been sinned against. Yes, we need to go back to our brother when we've sinned against them or when we've wronged them. But more importantly, we need to repent of our sin before God. David said, "For I acknowledge my transgressions, and my sin is ever before me. Against thee and thee only have I sinned and done this evil in thy sight, that I mightest be justified when thou speakest and be cleared when thou judgest," Psalm 51, 3 through 5. And we need to be like David. David believed in conducting a heart search. he believed in digging into his heart and digging out sin. "Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts, and see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting." We need to be willing, always willing, to have our hearts to go under the God's searchlight. Shine the light from the lighthouse. Shine it on me. We need to allow God's searchlight to search out any sin, and we need to be mindful of that, just like David was. And like I said, let's be mindful that, you know, we don't want to fool ourselves into thinking that there is no sin in us. David said, "Lord, come and examine every corner of my life. If I've sinned against you in any way, I don't know it. Please, and I don't know it, please reveal it to me." So we're asking God to reveal it so that we can truly repent. And this is the repentance of those things that he brings to us, that he allows the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit will lead us into all truth. Is that right? And so he convicts us of sin, and he will do that. And then my response to that is to say, "Yes, Father, yes, Lord, I did this thing, or I didn't do that thing, or I thought this way, or I had this motive. I didn't even know I had that impure motive. I didn't even know I had that pride." And listen, when we're not willing to confess and recognize and own up to it, then it's a pride problem. It's a pride problem. And if we want God to resist us, then we stay proud. But that's not what we want. And we know we have an enemy. And many times we talk about our heart, and in the New Testament we know many times when it says a heart, we're talking about the mind. And one of my sisters already said in the Word, I can't remember which night it was, about how the enemy, the battleground is our mind. He fights us in our mind. And if we fool ourselves into thinking or not taking the time to really search or allow the Spirit of God to search us so that we're keeping short sin accounts, I'll say it that way, scripture tells us, and that's what, again, one of the benefits of repentance is forgiveness. If I confess my sin, and it's not just about confessing, you will find, too, we're talking about making a turn from it. Confess it. He is faithful and just to forgive me and to cleanse me from all unrighteousness, to make me right just as if I'd not done the thing. I'm cleansed totally. I'm cleansed totally. And that gives me the courage, the encouragement to know that I need to turn from that. I don't want to go back to that place anymore. I want to turn from that sin. And as I need help in whether it's continuing to repent, as God is working and healing and changing, I talk about sometimes two dear family members who both drank, and one of them was delivered totally immediately, and the other struggled still for years, continued to struggle. And the question was, well, why is he? Maybe he didn't really surrender to God. Maybe he didn't really repent. Maybe he didn't. What he came up with was, though, and again, we find in Scripture God's graciousness and kindness toward us to bring us unto repentance. But sometimes God works in our lives in a way that he knows we need. Family member discovered that as long as he had to continue to seek God to overcome, it built him stronger in so many other areas that when it finally was manifested, because this was there, he was healed from alcoholism, but when it finally he had grown in so many ways, in his walk with the Lord, because he had to continually depend on him and go back to him and go back to him. One delivered instantly, and one delivered instantly, but it manifested over some time. God knows what he's doing and how he's working in our lives. And when we repent and we're willing to be honest before God about who we are and the fact that we haven't walked in perfection, he has that remedy for us to confess our sin. He will forgive us. We find in the Psalms again, he'll cast our sin as far as the east is from the west and remember it no more. That's one of the benefits that we have in repentance before God, is that it draws us, first of all, closer to him and allows us to see him at work in our lives and the changes that he is making in our lives. Some of the, and that's what I kind of want to get to, because our time, I don't want to keep our prolong our time. I
yeah,
want us to be
time.
Able to. Okay, thank you. Thank you, sister. I want us to be able to look at, we can see in both the Old and the New Testament, the prophets in the Old Testament, I don't care who, Ezra, Daniel, David, the king. I mean, we have seen the value of repentance. Even when some were really repenting for the nation, they weren't walking that way, but they included themselves because they knew they weren't walking in perfection. They included themselves in some of those powerful prayers we can see from the prophets in the Old Testament and some of the disciples and followers of Christ in the New Testament. They recognized and acknowledged their need and did repent. And that repentance is so brought out or brought about a relationship with God. We can look at Daniel, but there's so many that we could take a look at. One of the prayers, though, of repentance of in Daniel, and this was in Daniel 9, he said, "O Lord, to us belongeth confusion of faith, to our kings, to our princes, and to our fathers, because we have sinned against thee. We have sinned and have committed iniquity. We have done wickedly, and we have rebelled, even by departing from thy precepts and from thy judgment." Neither have we hearkened unto thy servants the prophets, which spake in thy name to our kings, our princes, and our fathers, and to all the people of the land. And, you know, certainly personal repentance. This was a corporate call to repentance. But each person, each of us is called to have this heart of repentance, and we need to remember that. Now, once we have acknowledged that fact that we need to repent, of course, like I said, now if you never sinned, if no sin ever happened, then you don't have anything. There's no need for repentance. And if you're not fooling yourself, then there is need of repentance, and it is until Jesus comes back. Until Jesus comes back, and it's the benefits of repentance are what make it worthwhile to really have that search light, God's search light to shine in our hearts. One of the benefits I think, and I really didn't, as I was sort of researching and looking up the word and what it meant and where it came from. But one of the things was we get the benefits of being repentant and repenting is that we get a new and clearer vision of Jesus Christ. When Daniel repented, it says, "Then I lifted up mine eyes and looked, and behold, a certain man clothed in linen, whose loins were girded with fine gold of Uphaz. His body also was like the beryl, and his face as the appearance of lightning, and his eyes as ramps of fire, and his arms and his feet like in color to polished brass, and the voice of his words like the voice of a multitude. And I, Daniel, alone saw this vision." Now, what was that? That was the pre-incarnate Christ Daniel saw. And we, too, when we repent, can get a vision of God like we hadn't seen before. He's brighter. He's more radiant because I am looking. I see myself for who I am and him for who he is. And when I make that comparison, when I look at it in this truly repentant heart before the Lord, I see him in more of his glory. Because he was able to take this repentant heart, this one in her imperfection, cleanse me, and then turn me around that I could go in the direction that honors him. Who but an awesome, mighty God can do such a thing, can take that thing that I repent of and still be glorified in it because I humbled myself and submitted it to him. Can't you see his glory just illuminates in that thought and that idea. When we repent and make all things right with God and others, and we know we have to go to others as well, we can see a new Christ newly illuminated in our lives. I want to go back to also, well, another benefit maybe before I go back, is the removal of fear. If I don't repent, then I still have fear because I have fear of judgment. I have fear of going before God. You understand what I'm saying? And even though he's the only one that I can go to get this thing right or fixed, I think about my babies. When they were babies and I was potty training them, and they would go, they'd have an accident. Coming to me, they'd go off in the corner somewhere and get and tuck down underneath and bow down and hide, right? When the only person who could do them any good, who they needed to be coming to, they didn't come to. So finally, you know, you find them. You say, "Where is that boy?" Because it was always the boys. "Where is that boy?" And you find, I shouldn't have said that. I shouldn't have said that. You all forgive me for saying that because it's not always the boys. Girls do the same thing. Anyway, where is he? And you know they hide, and if he's hiding, you knew he'd done something in that diaper or those training pants, whatever, that wasn't supposed to be done. And he has fear. But if he comes to me and says, oh, Mommy, I'm so sorry, and he couldn't talk like that, but that's what he would mean, and I need to, can you clean me up? Clean me up, please, Mommy, clean me up. Get this off of me, please, Mommy. And what would happen? He'd be clean, and now he can go and be happy and fresh and feeling good and smelling good and play and just have a good time without it. And when he sees Mommy, he's running up to her rather than trying to hide and repent. So the same way, if we keep short sin accounts, we go to God, we ask him daily to reveal to us if there are any ways in us that require repentance. Now, you show me a believer, a Christian, who refuses to acknowledge his sin and who says all the time, oh, my hands are clean. Oh, my hands, I got clean hands. And they lift it up, then I'll show you somebody who has a false sense of piety, who has pride. That person who puts on a big, big smile and, you know, this confident walk and boast, but yet never asks themselves, never looks in the mirror, or they look in the mirror and do just like it says in James. They forget, they walk away from it and forget what they look like. The Bible is clear that anyone who hides his sin, that person will not prosper. But show me a repentant Christian, like my little one who come out from the corner without me having to call him, who's sensitive to sin, who's willing to be searched and willing to cry out, I'm guilty. I was wrong. And I'll show you one who will soon walk each day without a single trace of fear. God will, he will be ever before God. God's hand will be in his heart, helping him to as those times come where repentance is required, to be able to come before him and find that grace and mercy to help in the time of need. And then that person will experience the immeasurable favor and blessing of God. And listen, when we are experiencing that, it's no wonder that the atmosphere won't change for those who are around us as it relates to Jesus Christ. Because we'll have that renewed view of him. We'll have no fear in sharing him. We'll be able to present the truth about who he is. And all of those things will allow the atmosphere will just be, it will have changed. A truly repentant heart never has to hide from the Lord, because there is no fear of any judgment if you acknowledge your sins, evidencing godly sorrow and making restitution where it's necessary. You can look confidently into the Master's face at all times. You don't have to be fearful. Even when the word of reproof comes, you can still rejoice in it, because you know it's just giving you another opportunity to repent, and you'll see his glory. And you can stand before his eyes, even as those who refuse to repent and acknowledge their sin are fleeing from him. Amen. God is a faithful God. We can rely on him. We can depend on him. We can trust in him. We can trust his word. We can trust that as we repent, we are cleansed, and he will give us the ability, the confidence, the power to go in the right direction. Another benefit of, I think they kind of tied together. I was going to say it allows us to fall more and more in love with Jesus. But you can see how that is, how that ties together. We fall more in love with him the more he brings us, you know, we say that as those who are believers, we're saved. We still sin. We're not sinless, but we sin less as we grow. As we grow in our deeper relationship with him, as we mature in our fellowship, in our reading and understanding and meditating on the word, we are growing in him. And as we grow in him, it's like falling more in your, fall in love with Jesus. That song, the best thing I ever done. I love music. I'm not a singer. I sing, but I'm not a singer. But I love music. Our sister just blessed us talking about the name of Jesus. And the other night sang one of my, Oh Happy Day. All those songs that we sing are to allow us to even deepen our love for Christ. And the more I see how he loves me, even in my imperfection, his love for me does not change, and he loves me enough to bring me closer and closer and more in that loving relationship with him. So I fall more and more in love with him. Every time I look back and see, I say, Lord, you did that. You did this. Even in spite of I did that, that I came to you and I confessed, you still used me to bring you glory and to build your kingdom. And how can we not love him even more and more? His love is perfect for us. But we're not that infinite, divine being from the standpoint. Our love grows. Our love grows. And so we are thankful for repentance and what it does for us and what it does in our lives. It was one other thing I kind of wanted to share a little bit about. When we're talking about bearing fruit, you know, we talk about the fruit of the Spirit, but the fruit of the Spirit comes through the fruit of repentance, because as we get rid of all of those other things, then we are able to produce more even the fruit in our lives. It will naturally grow from a life of worshiping God and repentance. That fruit of the Spirit will naturally grow. So when we talk about the fruit of the Spirit, I want to talk about too. Keep in mind, we want to keep in mind also the fruit of repentance, which the fruit of the Spirit is really the fruit of repentance, if I can say it that way. Finally, just to kind of wrap us up, these marvelous benefits that we have through repentance, those are the things then that change the atmosphere. This honesty that we have before God, the growing relationship that we have before him. And we need to understand, again, repentance isn't just this matter of, oh, I'm sorry. It's making that 180-degree turn. How do we know when we've truly repented? Well, one of the things that happens is we stop making excuses. We don't make excuses. A friend of mine said, you know what, Carol, one of the ways I knew I had repented of this particular thing, and this was I work with a lot of women who are post-abortive. And these are women who had abortions before they came to Christ and after they came to Christ, some of them. And so they have this guilt and shame. And it gets removed when there is true repentance. Now, when a woman is saying to me, I had that abortion, but you know, I didn't have any choice. This was happening, and that was going on, and I really couldn't. It was nothing I could do about it. And so then, I help her to see that perhaps she hasn't really repented because she's still making excuses. She wants to still make it seem as though it was okay. But some of the fruit of repentance is I know that, or the ability is the humility that allows me to say, yeah, I did it. Yeah, it was me. It was me. I chose it. It was me. And when you can say that, and then another woman said to me after she went through this healing and was just really made whole, completely whole, she said, you know, Carol, when I really, really, really realized I had repented is when I could, when it became a part of my testimony, I could share it with other people. And I wasn't hiding anymore. And where God gave me the ability to, at the right time, led by the Spirit to share with somebody, I could do it. I knew I had repented. I had truly repented. And so we're no longer making excuses. It's me, it's me, it's me, oh Lord, standing in the need of prayer. And so let's change the atmosphere in our own lives. And then the atmosphere for everybody who comes into contact with us will be changed through the Christ who has changed us through our willingness to repent. Father, thank you for this word and for this privilege to share it. I just pray that you said it doesn't return void. I pray that it has ministered and will accomplish that it has gone out for. Amen.
My God from Zion. Ooh, I was right down to the last statement until I had to stop. That was so powerful. Praise God. I'm not going to give any remarks now. That word has definitely, glory to God, penetrate our hearts, no matter what position we held in the kingdom. Glory to God. The word has found us out somewhere in there. So I'm praying right now as we open the line, because the whole revival is about our hearts being prepared to shift us over into the next dimension and not, glory to God, another resolution for the new year. But all that we've already received and what we're receiving, even through this revival, and prior to even in your local assemblies or wherever you heard the word, praise the Lord that it'll cause us to have a heart like never before to seek the kingdom of God and his righteousness, deny this flesh, acknowledge, glory to God, what's going on in our lives and get rid of this justified and denying, glory to God, why we do this or that, because God is not going to hear that even if he was to come back now. Where would we be? We're not going to have any excuses about why I didn't or why I did what I did. So I'm believing God for miracles to take place even as now and in the upcoming year as we are yielding and veiling ourselves to the Spirit of the Lord. Praise God for this word of God. Woman of God, I pray God's blessings upon you. Now the lines are open for anyone that has a prayer request that the woman of God can pray with you and our prophets, but I don't want, glory to God, you to hang up too quickly either, because I do would like to hear from the remarks will be afterwards. And so as you have the request, then we're going to go ahead and take it, and if there is none, then we're going to move forward with the remarks. And I praise God, I pray, glory to God, I believe her son and also maybe our brother may be on, so I want you not to hang up before at least you have some acknowledgments too as well. But anyway, some remarks. At this time, let's concentrate on who may need prayer requests right now. And we want to keep it flowing because we have almost 30 people on the line, so we don't want to just have it like, oh, a space here, and then you got to breathe and think about whether you want to. You already know where there's a request, let it flow, and as one finished, then we'll take the next, or however, or if the pastor desired to take a couple of the prayer, the requests and do a few at a time, then we'll do it that way. But now the lines are open for everybody. Anyone that has a request, we want you to go ahead and make it known now.
Okay. Pastor BJ and all the company, this is Pastor Sim. I was wanted to ask you all to please pray for my family for the third time this year. We lost our brother-in-law, the one that you prayed for on Tuesday night. He passed away after emergency surgery this morning at 7:30.
Jesus.
And we asking for prayer for our family, please.
Praise God. Well, Pastor, you go ahead and take that one. Then any others after that, we'll start picking three or four at a time. And then, so let's go ahead and allow you to go ahead and pray for Pastor Sim's family.
Father God, you are amazing, God, and there's none like you and none beside you. And, Father, I just pray for Pastor Sim's family, Lord God, that you are the awesome and mighty God that makes no mistakes, gives us comfort even in this time of sorrow and sadness. I thank you, Lord God, that those of us who know you, we have a hope, Lord God. We are hopeful, Lord God, that knowing that absent from the body is present with the Lord, We thank you, Lord God, that to live is Christ, but to die is gain. Father, we thank you, Father, that when our hearts are hurting and need comfort, we can be free to come to you and seek your comfort, Lord God, and seek your care. You comfort us, Lord God, and you comfort us in a way that we then can comfort one another and comfort others. We thank you for your word, and we thank you for being God, and we thank you for providing for us an eternal home. Father God, I pray that you will heal the hearts, that you would just speak peace to the hearts, Lord God, of those who are experiencing this loss, physically and friends, loved ones, Lord God, that are experiencing this loss, that you will be with them and let your presence be known in a way that it has not been known as they've gone through this illness, Lord God, and now this passing. So we trust you, Lord God, and I submit the family to you and to their care, knowing that earth has no sorrow that heaven cannot heal. And we ask it in Jesus' precious name. Amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Any other requests? We will be praying for your family, Pastor Sam. Any other prayer requests?
Praise the Lord.
Praise the
Lord. I want you to, this is Pastor Bird. I want you to pray for my niece. Her name is Wanda Walker. She was in the hospital last week. Her hemoglobin was like 7.1, and they gave her 2 pints of blood, and she got out of the hospital 2 days later. Had to go back today to be checked again, and it was back down to 7.1. And so they had to readmit her to the hospital. And my prayer is, because this has been going on for a while, that they will find out the source of where that blood is going. And that they may be able to tell her what is going on.
I don't know.
To pray tonight that the doctors will just stop doing this and going up and doing this. They will do what they need while she's in there and see where that blood is going.
Tomorrow night, you can
pray. Praise God. Praise God. We definitely will be praying. Prophets, I want you to go ahead, but just for me, Pastor. Can I ask in the background, if anyone is online and listening, would you be aware and consideration that you might need to mute your lines because we hear you talking and have a conversation in the back? Can you kindly, service is still going on. I have to open the lines here so I won't have to, so everybody can be able to speak now. But you must mute yours if you have some business in the background. We certainly do appreciate it. Pastor, you go ahead and pray.
Father God, we come before you again in the name of Jesus. Father God, we come on behalf of Pastor Bird's niece, Wanda Walker. God, I call her name, but you know her name. You know her condition, Lord God. You know all about her and the blood that is the issue. Father God, we thank you, Lord God, that you have no problems with issues of blood. You are able to work and move. You are our healer, Lord God, and we can call upon you. And we can call upon you also to give wisdom to doctors and nurses and to any of the other people who are going to be involved in her treatment and care. We pray, Lord God, her healing in the name of Jesus. We plead the blood of Jesus. His blood covers, Lord God, and we are so thankful, Lord God, that it is through the blood of Jesus that we are saved and healed, Lord God. We thank you for that, Lord God. We thank you for the peace and confidence that you can give, not only to her family, Lord God, but to her having to go in the hospital again, Lord God, to comfort her. Lord Jesus, our peace. Be her peace, Lord God. I pray, Father God, I'm agreeing with Pastor Bird. I'm agreeing with Pastor Bird in her prayer, Lord God, that her that the doctors and those find the source of what's going on in this situation. They have to find it, but you can reveal it. And so we pray your revelation to the doctors, Lord God, that she will be healed, Lord God, completely. Father God, I pray, Lord God, then for all who have to care for her, whether it's at home, whether it's family members, Lord God, spouses or children or whoever is giving her care, Lord God, that you would also be with them and allow them peace and grace to serve her needs as you are working healing in her body, in her mind, in her soul, in her spirit. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Praise God.
So
anyone
nice.
Else?
Amen.
Let's move quickly. Anyone else? Praise God. Bless the Lord. If there's no more prayer requests tonight, bless the Lord. We're going to go ahead and have Pastor Bird, just in case you do have to leave off the line, we'll go ahead and have you. And I definitely would like for her son and brother as well to have remarks because they may have to leave too. And, of course, I know my girls do too because of their work schedule. That's the only reason why I'm doing it in that order. Anyone else after that, any ministers, anyone else after. So we'll hear from a couple of them, and then we'll take it for anybody to have any remarks. Anthony or either Cliff, are y'all there? Or have you dropped off the line? Are you shy or you're not there? Okay, then. All right, Pastor Bird.
Pastor Bird or Pastor Burton?
Pastor Burton is not online. She's out of state. I talked to her earlier. I'm talking to you. So, no, that would be you, Pastor.
Oh, praise the Lord. Glory to God. I tell you, this word is getting better and better and better. Everybody has just done a fantastic job. And I thank God that this word have been just showing me where I'm at every night. And it's
help
getting
me.
Better. So
yes.
I just bless God tonight because truly we need to repent every day.
Yes.
We are not perfect. And I love that analogy that she gave about the kids being potty trained. And as I was thinking about that, you know, we're being trained also.
Mm-hmm.
And that training that we're going through is to promote the gospel of Jesus Christ and him being crucified. And we have to do it in a way, just like she said, that bear fruit. And in order to do that, we got to recognize where we are. Got to recognize that we are not perfect and that we mess up. But I thank God, he was saying, when he show us us, he shows us when we go to him and repent, and it put us right back on the right track with him. So we are not like those babes hiding in the corner. So I tell you, it's been such a blessing this week, and I enjoyed this so much. And during that time, I started examining self. So I just thank you, Evangelist, for bringing that powerful word tonight. I was blessed.
Praise God. Glory to Jesus.
Praise the Lord. Carmelita or Alicia, y'all can go ahead and do real quickly, and then we'll take the other ones out. I'm trying to see if Pastor Betty was there, but I don't see her number. So we'll just go ahead with you two, and then we'll have anybody else after you all, because I know by y'all schedules you have to leave.
Praise God, amen. Please forgive me, I'm tired. But I thank and praise God for the word on tonight. As Pastor Bird was saying, every night I've been on, and it has just been better and better each night. And I just thank God for the word on tonight. Even had made me think a couple times, even about myself, like Pastor Brett was saying, examining yourself, defining yourself in the word and making sure that, you know, that you're walking in a place of, like you said, of a repentance, because you didn't have to deal with some of the same stuff over and over again, that you can find yourself having a certain kind of spirit. And but then having to check yourself and making sure that you're still lining up with Christ and being that ambassador of Christ, so that way you can continue to be able to minister to others, or if nothing else, even like my mother always said, you know, you may be the only Bible that some people will ever read. So even having to stay in that place, of, even when you've been the one that's been faulted, what am I trying to say? The word, when they've, you know, done something against you, and you're still having to walk in that spirit of repentance to making sure that your atmosphere, as the minister was preaching the other day, you're not changing the atmosphere in a way that is against what God has a call for. So I really thank and praise God for that word. Of course, my favorite analogy, too, was with the baby, because I was like, that is right, yeah. We can be just like that at times. When we're over here and we're like, oh, God, I don't want to listen. I don't want to. I feel so bad, God, because what I did. But yet at the same time, he's so forgiving, and all we had to do was just come to him. So I thank and praise God for that word that you gave, that you blessed us all with on tonight. And then, you know, just looking at it, if we're walking that place of repentance, then we can stand to be blessed. So I just give God glory for Pastor Hubbard on tonight as well, for having, again, this revival, the new way of having church. But with God, you know, is he just always just making sure that there's a way that the word still get out and his people are encouraged and set free, and, you know, we're being able to be ministered to. So I'm sorry, I'm taking a lot of time because I'm tired. But I love you. God, have a blessed one, and I thank God for you, Auntie, Minister Simpson. I love you. God bless
love
you.
Love you. Love you. Love you.
It must be Brother Black. But anyway, if Common Leader's not there anymore, anyone else that have a remark, so you can go ahead and see, because I can't check all the names right, the numbers now. So anyone else have a remark before we give that over into her? You have this time now. You can share. A few of you can come on, and then, because we have enough time to at least share a little bit about what God has blessed you, even hearing the word tonight. And it's always good for pastors and ministers to be encouraged, even though God bless and anoint them. It's good to also hear glory to God there. And we can't do it all the time in churches and everywhere, but when we have this opportunity, so God has given me, so I follow suit on what he says. So anyone else that has any remarks?
Amen. Praise the Lord. Truly, I give God glory, honor, and praise for the message and the messenger on tonight. Apostle, prophet is Alexander, and it's a pleasure to meet you, sister to Pastor BJ. Praise the Lord.
Yeah.
Absolutely outstanding. I thank and praise God. What are you doing to change the atmosphere for Christ? Praise the Lord. And you said your title or your topic for tonight is repentance. And I'm just going to point out, to be brief, praise God, some little stars I put by something that I wrote down. Basically, you got to get rid of your baggage before you can affect change for Christ. And we have to. If you have stuff in your life that you have not repented from, and I thank and praise God daily, think maybe something that you've thought about, maybe something that you looked at, and it just, you know, just stayed in your spirit, you got to get rid of it, praise God. I just thank and praise God for that. It was a genuine, clear message, easy to follow you, praise God. Excellent, praise God. A note to get rid of the baggage, praise God. If you're going to affect some change, you mentioned that believers have the presence of God in their life, praise God. The presence of God lives on the inside of us, so praise God, when you come on the scene, if something's not right, the presence of God in you, praise God, you should be able to speak a word, praise God. You should be able to even just look sometimes. You don't have to say anything, praise God, but the presence of God can make the difference in someone else's life. See those, and I put a star by see others, or see those that may have errors in their life. They may not be where you are. They may have sin in their life, but we've got to begin as believers to see people the way Jesus, the way God sees. Glory be to God. What a great and awesome point. That's something that we've really got to do, because people of God are really quick to point out the sin in someone else, and they got a plank in their eye. I know I'm saying something, but I'm going to leave that alone. But praise God, we've got to do better at how we see others, because people are not there. They're not where you are yet, praise God. And we're praying, hallelujah, that the Christ on the inside, the light of the Lord that lives on the inside of you, is going to affect someone to draw closer, not to me, not to you, but to God. Praise God. Hallelujah. So we've got to begin to see from the eyes of God. We have to, praise God, do that. And then I put a note by, you've got to have that compassion. I know. You got to have the compassion. That compassion, it was reminding me, I think that Pastor BJ had mentioned about compassion to the point that it moves you to action, praise God. Hallelujah. So I just wanted to point out those few things. A lot more I put down, but I just think, and praise God, yes, there are benefits to repentance, praise God. First of all, like you said, praise God, you see Christ more clearly, praise God. You see things more clearly from his perspective, praise God, and which is how we should be seeing things. And you get rid of fear. A fear of what kind of fear? The fear of judgment. Because judgment is going to begin where? At the house of God. I give God praise, glory, and honor for you, Prophet Alexander. It's a pleasure to meet you as Pastor BJ's sister. And the word was just absolutely great. And I thank and praise God for you. God bless you. Amen.
Praise God. Amen. Praise God.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. Okay, let's move real quickly, like 1 or 2 minutes. And let's so that way we can get a couple of them in and let her have time for whatever, because I know a few people would like to say something. So go ahead at this time.
Okay. I'm always late, so praise the Lord. I thank God for you, probably. And I just like to say I thank God for your sister, Pastor Hubble. I thank God for her, too. And I was just listening when you were speaking about repentance, and I was writing down some notes like everyone else was saying, and I was thinking about what you said. We have to always be looking at ourselves. You know, sometimes we got to look at ourselves when we go through situations, not so much as looking at other people. We have to get our eyes off other people and get our eyes on ourselves, because we are sometimes that may fall in the wrong trap or go in the wrong direction, but we thank God for his word that he's able to bring us out of those situations. And also, like that part where you was talking about the baby, how the baby go and hide, because I have a little child baby. She do that. She goes in the little corner, and I know she's doing something. When she's in the corner, she's hiding. And then I say, I know you've done something over there. And then she'll come back out. But when I think about people, I'm going to have to talk about myself. When you think about myself at times when I have felt and done wrong, then you don't want to be around other people, because you feel like they know, you know, especially if you're a Christian, they know you're doing something wrong. And so, therefore, in the Word of God, and if you got the Spirit of the Lord in you, he's going to condemn you anyway. You want to know that you've done wrong. So I just thank God for that. And then say we fall more. And then when you get into the Word of God, and that Word will condemn you, you get in that Word, and when you begin to get in the Word and begin to study the Word, then after a while, you begin to see a little better than what you used to see. Because that word will help you to realize that you don't have to keep doing that same old thing that you fell in trap with the enemy. You fell in trap. So it said, I was reading this poem, it said, we fall more in love. We'll fall more in love with him, and we'll grow more. We'll find ourselves after a while. You won't fall in that trap again, because you know you keep that spirit in.
Thank
keep
you,
that
Jesus.
Word.
Amen.
Falling in that same way that you've been falling in. So I just thank God for you, and I pray that God continue to bless you, and thank you for receiving me on tonight.
Praise God.
Praise the Lord. Thank you. Thank you, Lord.
Bless the Lord. Okay, go ahead.
Prophet, God bless you.
Pastor,
my name is Robert Black.
Yes,
and I just thank God for the word. And I mean, I was in and out. I was in and out all this week, but I'm just still here, and I just thank you for delivering the word and the things that I have heard. And amen, and God bless you.
Praise God. Bless the Lord. Well, I thank the Lord for those. Someone else?
Praise the Lord, Pastor Brett Alexander. I thank God for using you mightily tonight. And I pray the Lord continue to use you more and more. Amen.
Praise God. Well, I bless the Lord again for the word tonight and how God miraculously moved. And like said before, and then came out with others, that no matter what, you know, the word will find us out. And there's some things that we may have been overcomers in, and sometimes we go back through hardship or trials or whatever, and you can find yourself slipping, getting back in a place of complacency, or you can find yourself where the scripture I like to use, don't think more highly of yourself than you ought to, and you brought out something when you were talking about how people sometimes they're repeating over stuff and whatever like this, and you have to make sure we're careful that, you know, there's the same old thing over and over and over, but, you know, they, like you say, they got to take responsibility, but sometimes our action and attitude can change, you know, and not be in the right place, too, because of the repetition of it, so we have to check ourselves, and I thank you for what you had said about how even John had said bringing forth fruit of repentance, and we need to have that consistently. You've heard it already, but consistently, daily, have a spirit of repentance. People get too high sometimes because of the knowledge that they have, the education, or how God uses them in their gifts, and don't realize we have to keep a repentance heart all the time. Maybe some things we're not aware of, like you said with David and then stuff like this. You know, search me, God, because there may be some things I'm not aware. He said, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. And, you know, when we come into the knowledge of the truth, then we can walk better, do better, and we can receive better, and we can be able to walk in the love. But when we're in denial and justifying, but I praise God for all that was already said, so many fronts, things you brought out. But as you said, now that we're going to be wise about how much is being said now, you know, at the end of the night, because a lot of things were already brought out. And I know other people have things on their heart or would like to say or have said or already been said. So we just want to be a representative of Christ. And so we can have the joy, the peace, and be able to fulfill the things of God. What are we doing to change the atmosphere? And repentance is a key thing in walking in forgiveness and walking in the love. The lip service ain't going to get it, because he said you're praising with your lips, but your heart be far from it. So no matter who we are, there's place for growth and maturity until Jesus come back. Like Paul said, that I might know him in resurrection. We know all the power and anointing that man walked in, but still yet that I might know him. So we should have that desire and determination as well. I want to give this time now for you to go ahead and have remarks, and certainly appreciate, praise God, the Lord bless for the word that came forth. And like you said, every night truly God has moved. I'm sorry. Prophet is more. I don't know if she left off the line or not, and didn't get to jump in. Did you have something you want to say too? You might have already left the line, because she probably had to go to work. Okay, she probably already gone. But nevertheless, at this time, we're going to give this space to you, Pastor, that you may have remarks and whatever. Then we'll make the announcement for our next night of the revival.
Thank you. Pastor B.J. Hubbard, my sister dear, I am, you all have blessed me so with the comments and the remarks and the heart of love and prayer that you've shown toward me that I heard through the comments that you said, but even more so toward our faithful God is his word. He is the one who makes the difference, who changes, or who he's the discerner of hearts and minds, and the one able to change us, even the leper spot. So we are thankful for this privilege. I am so humbled and so appreciative of God, because he works in me. I read and study and prepare, and he works in me, and he points things out, and you all the points that you made were just a blessing to me. And sister dear, God bless you. I love you. Thank you again for this platform. Just a whole week so far
I'm thankful, looking forward to tomorrow and the next night and the next night and the next night. I think we got that many nights left to go.
All right, to Sunday,
God bless each of you. And you all continue to pray for me. Please continue to pray and that God would work in my life the way that he needs to, so that I can change and grow and be more about changing the atmosphere in the name of Jesus Christ. So thank you, and God bless you.
Praise the Lord. I certainly do appreciate you so kindly. Looking forward to you for many times in the future as we go into the year. The Lord, thank God for all of our speakers and what God has blessed in every night of prayer, and that we'll hold on to this word that he's been giving us for the shift and the change and going over into the new greater dimension in him. Praise the Lord. Our revival, praise God, will continue. The next time we will have service is Friday the 10th. A prophetess, Lillian Bird, glory to God, out of Molding near Greenville, South Carolina, will be our speaker. On Saturday night will be the 11th. Pastor Betty Pugh out of Columbia, South Carolina, bless the Lord. She will bring the word that night. And our own minister, Robert Black, out of Connecticut, will be our Sunday night messenger. So we are praying that God continue to bless them as well as they bring forth the bread of life in the name of Jesus. The Bible says man shall not live by bread alone, but every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. And as we get his word and allow the Holy Spirit to lead us, he'll groom us and change us and transform us into his image. And that light, glory to God, where we can uplift Christ and draw, he said he'll draw all men. So help us to be sincere, glory to God, about this kingdom business. Because the enemy is on warfare, but glory to God, God gave us power and authority to put him to flight and to walk a victorious life in him. Trials and tribulations don't come because we got to burn out this flesh so the spirit man, glory to God, can God can be glorified in our spirit man, and so that way we can be the vessels of honor that he's calling for in these last days. So that means we got to fight the good fight of faith and more to crucify this flesh, that glory that we'll let go and let God. And there'll be some trials and tribulation going on, but it's going to be glory that so God can be glorified, and glory to God, some may be coming because he wants glory to God to change and rearrange us and other things that may be just for him to get some glory. But just be encouraged. Know that he have a plan for us. Know that it's good. But give us a hope in the future. So we love you. We appreciate you. We glorify the Lord for all that he's already done. And still yet with anticipation and expectancy of the greater things yet to come. So, Father, I ask you to bless this speaker, the messenger for tonight, and all those that have already spoken, the ones that are coming, continue to bless, keep them, cover them under the blood, as well as their families, the ministries that's in them, and all that concerns them concerns you in the name of Jesus. We pray, God, for you to continue to bless these lines, that they stay open, no challenge, glory to God, that the enemy will come up to intercept on the technology or whatever. Keep our bodies healed and whole. We bind up untimely death and sickness and disease, plots and plans, schemes, and whatever else be eradicated, dismantled in Jesus' name, so that where we can come in compliance and in alignment as you clear the way for us to walk in the narrow way. Glory to God, with the power of the Holy Spirit, with the armor on, in Jesus' name we pray. God, we loose the Holy Spirit for his peace and his joy and wisdom and knowledge, and glory to God, and a submission of obedience that we shall come into. In Jesus' name we pray. I pray you have a blessed, marvelous, and wonderful night. We celebrate Jesus and glorify his holy name. Just want to leave just blessing the Lord and thanking him for all that he's done. This was a good word. Glory to God to help out of us over into that realm of changing the atmosphere for the Lord. Ah, no more I but the Christ. We love you. We appreciate you. We adore you. Have a wonderful night. And God bless you. Angels be in camp. Shalom, shalom.
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 Love
shalom.
You.
We love you. Praise shalom. The Lord, everybody.
Love
amazing
you,
grace. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Bless the Lord, oh my soul, and all that's within me. Bless his holy name. What a mighty God we serve. Praise you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. In him we live and move and have our being. And if God be for us, who can be against us? Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Glory, glory, glory.
Thank you.